Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Perfect. Hi, everybody. It's me, Claire, the creator of the channel, and Vicky.
Me.
Vicky Mosley.
Vicky Mosley.
Friend, trail runner extraordinaire, and fellow gear tester. So we have been testing head torches, and Vicky and I did a great head torch test. I've linked to it in the film description below, and it's in the podcast show notes as well. It's the whole head torch playlist. I'll link to the one specifically that Vicky did whilst I was on maternity. And basically, today we're going to just chat about our kind of top head torches. So, take it away, Vicky. What is your top head torch for 2022?
I've tested a lot of head torches over the last couple of years. And sometimes it depends what you are doing and what your requirements are. But my overall favourite over the past couple of years has been the Petzl Swift RL. Which is a 900 lumens head torch. Have you got it there as well?
Have got it, yes. I was going to say this is one of my faves too.
I've lent mine to a girl who's doing a Gold Duke of Edinburgh this week. She's away for 4 nights camping. And this was the one I sent her with because it's the thing I love about it. I can stick it in a pocket. It's so light. Because most people tend to do a run where it crosses into dark. So you set off at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And it turns dark when you're out on a run. If I was setting off in the dark on a run, I might choose a different one. But for me and the time I run, the Zwift RL is perfect because I can start with it in a pocket and it hardly weighs anything and then take it out and put it on my head. I just love how easy it is to use, how simple it is. There's nothing really fancy about it. It doesn't do colours and things like that. It's just a great cracking head torch. I think the price when I last checked was about £87 on Amazon. I don't know whether that's changed or not, but in terms of price, it's one of the lower cost head torches really, but you're still getting a really, really cracking head torch. And it's funny that you and I both mentioned that as one of our favorites.
Both picked it. Yeah, I'm just looking at the stats here as well for it. Yeah, 900 lumens, that's its maximum kind of like a boost kind of setting, isn't it? And it the great thing is it only weighs like 100 grams. So you really can just put this in just in case, even though it's super bright. And the other great thing about it is that it's all at the front. So there's no battery pack at the back. So like if you've got a ponytail, like men and women these days both have ponytails, this cross section here, you can pop your ponytail in between it. So
that's what I do.
That's so comfy. And I know it sounds like a bit of a spurious thing, but actually it's really handy, like rather than
if
one like this.
Ponytail running with a battery pack on the back is really difficult to position, I find.
Yeah, you've got to have it either below or above or just like redo your hair, which is just not on.
The other thing about the Zwift is it's got the light sensor on the front, which is brilliant if you're running. I run a lot on roads where there's no pavement, And it's got a sensor that dips when it hits a car headlight so that you're not blinding the car as well. It's really, really good. And you can see it work as you're running along. It's really effective.
Yeah, it's got the reactive lighting, hasn't it? Which you can turn off if you don't, if you just want to be in control of your own lighting. Because some people like it, some people don't. So this one, this bit here, that's the reactive lighting thing. So I don't know if I'll blind everyone, but I think I've got it on reactive lighting. So it's doing a certain level of brightness. And when I pretend that it's gone darker, you can see the brightness goes up just slightly, but you can see that working there. So that's reactive lighting. And sometimes it's really useful. And sometimes, like I found that when I'm running with others, sometimes it dips the light because it can sense all the light around you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't want that light pointing down at your feet. So it's good that you've got the opportunity to turn it off if you want to. That's what I found.
Yeah.
So that's both of us, both one of our favourite head torches there. My next favourite head torch is another one that you can just pop in your bag. It doesn't weigh very much. Silver. So Petzl and Silver are like the go-to head torch brands of the outdoor world. And there are other brands as well, but like these are like the two biggies, aren't they? We'll talk about some other brands in a minute as well. But
which model is that, Claire?
This is the Trail Runner Free Hybrid. So it's got this battery pack at the back that you open up, and you can either use three AAAs in there, or you can use their hybrid battery, which I currently have stuck in their new head torch here. So this is a prototype, so they've sent me another one, a production model, but I've actually got the battery stuck in here and I can't actually get it out at the moment, which is not a great advert for Silver, but this is a pre-production model, so don't worry about this. But I can't get it out at the moment, but this torch also takes either three AAAs or one of their hybrid, they call it the hybrid battery, and you can get a spare one for £28. And the great thing about this head torch is, although that there is a battery on the back of the head torch like that, they've actually incorporated the wire that usually wriggles all the way up to the lamp. They've incorporated it into the band. So usually we usually have a wire all the way up, but they've incorporated it. This is 400 lumens, so it hasn't got that boost of the Swift RL. The Swift RL does have some stats here. The Swift that we were just talking about, the standard power is 300 lumens. So the max power is like it only lasts for 2 hours on that mode, but the standard mode lasts for 5.5 hours. Whereas this silver one is about £90, probably less now. I'm just going to look at the lumens because it was 400 lumens when I last looked. 400 lumens, and that lasts for 2 hours, then 200 lumens for 5 hours, and a reserve mode of 50 for 12 hours. So this isn't as bright, but it's a little bit lighter. So the Swift RL, and that they're the ones that I put in my pocket usually to head out the door. This one's just so compact, isn't it? It's just light, and there we are.
Interestingly, the other one that I picked as my other favourite is the Silver Cross Trail 6 Ultra, which was one I tested last year. And again, one of the things I really like about the Silver ones is where they give you the stats on the box, they tell you the difference in performance based on different temperatures. So it tells you how long you'd expect the battery to last at -5 degrees compared to 20 degrees. Because obviously that has quite a big impact on lithium batteries and things like that. It makes quite a big difference to the burn time. This is one of my favourites. And the newer model that Claire has the smaller battery pack and the wire in the band. One of the things that is nice about this one is you use the wire to extend, and you can put this battery pack, which is quite big but not uncomfortable, you can put it in your backpack, which in winter I think most people do run with a vest of some description on, because you set off often without your head torch and things like that. So that's again one of my other favorites, is the silver one also. The only thing is they get quite hot, the silver one. You and I both mentioned that, haven't we?
Yeah,
they do get quite hot on the front, and you have to be careful not to touch the front disease. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mentioned that to the silver rep. He's left now, and he was like, "No, it's not that bad." And I was like, "No, you wouldn't want to hold that for a while." So yeah,
no. That's,
I don't think that is the best. But usually in winter you've got gloves on, so I suppose that's kind of okay. And you might want the warmth, you know,
warm your hands.
Yeah, just like a bit cold hands.
And again, they have the intelligent beam, don't they, as well? That's something that's really nice. When you look up across a field, the beam changes slightly too, so that you can look across and find like styles and things like that quite easily.
Yeah, there's sort of like a spot, isn't there? When you look down, there's a bit more of a flood spot thing going on. And then when you look far ahead, it changes so that you can, that it really lights up features ahead of you. We've explained that in our films as well. I'm just going to go back to this, because I did say that it was 900 lumens for 2 hours, but that is actually on the reactive lighting mode.
Yes,
so
that's right.
It's not like you can put it on 900 lumens for 2 hours constantly. If you're going to have it on the standard lighting, you know, just where you press it and you get what you get, the highest it goes up to there is 550 lumens, and that lasts for 2 hours. So that's much more, because I was thinking, they were kind of comparable, but yeah, so 550 for 2 hours, and this is 400 for 2.5 hours. So they're very similar head torches, but reactive lighting, not reactive lighting. Battery on the back of the head, battery not on the back of the head. So it's just, it's really good that there's different head torches out there for what people prefer. We've got some people on the live chat. David Lieb says, my light band LED is 1,500 lumens with a 180 degree full view. I have not tried a light band head torch. Maybe David is... from another country, because I've never heard of that brand.
No, I've not. I've got the Lenser here. I've got the LED Lenser, which we did on that review as well.
Yeah.
And my husband stole the BioLite head torch. He uses that one all the time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Stolen that one.
Yeah.
And we had the Neo as well, didn't we? The Petzl Neo. Yeah. That was, we discussed that one as well in the review quite a bit.
They're bringing out a new version of that this month, I think, or next. So they're going to send us that. So I'll have to send that to you for review as well. But I am reviewing, I'm doing a budget head torch review at the moment. So I was going to show you three from that. The first one is a silver head torch again. This is the Scout, the Terra Scout X. And it's really cool because it's made of recycled pulp and plastics. So it's this funny colour, which I think is revolting. Like, it's, you know, like fake rocks at Pound Saver that you get lights in, a light with a fake rock with a light in. It looks like that. So I think it's really ugly, but I love the environmental story. I hope Silver aren't watching this. But it's 300 lumens. It's only got two settings, which is nice and simple, nice, thick, comfy headband. 300 lumens for 5.5 hours, or 50 lumens, the lower setting, for 32 hours. And that costs £35. So I just thought, that's also a really nice torch just to pop in your bag just in case.
Yeah.
And the great thing about this one is that you can, as I said before, you could put three AAAs or the silver hybrid battery in there, which I've got in just now. So that's really cool.
Claire, can I just ask, do we know what the warranty is on the silver head torches? Just because I've got it for the others, but I don't have the warranty for the silvers. And I just wondered, with the budget head torches, do they come with a year or 2 year warranty if it mentions it?
It doesn't mention it on here.
No, I don't think I could find it on the other ones that we did.
I don't know. Surely there is a warranty. That's the Petzl website.
I just remember from when we looked at the others, one of the things we liked about the lens was that it comes with a 7 year warranty, which is amazing.
That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just having a look on the silver website. It doesn't actually mention anything about
warranties. I think that's why I left it blank on the one we did.
I can ask the PR.
I mean, it's good for a £35 head torch. It'd be, you know, it's...
maybe it's more with the more expensive ones, but that I'm not sure about that, but it's got a good environmental story on that one. And also they're designed to last a long time, so that's another that's more important even than using recyclable products, to be honest. And then the next one that I wanted to show everyone was this one. It's called the Bandicoot 250, and I've not heard of it before. It's made by Nog, who make cycling lights and things. And it's just really weird. So it kind of looks like a snake. It's like gonna like lands on your head. So it's a really weird design there. It's not like the comfiest. And it needs charging. I've literally just got this in the post yesterday. But yeah, it's 250 lumens and it's, I think it's around the £35 mark. So
right.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. It looks like, do you remember on Star Trek, there was that dude and he had that thing over his eyes because he was blind. It reminds me of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
And it's got this little tie thing to make it tighter. So you just tighten it by doing that. Oh, it comes out a little bit. So I think it's cool. It's a cool idea and it looks kind of cool, but I'm not sure it's going to win the head torch test. Like, it's not on a par with the whole Silver and Petzl business. And then finally for my head torches, I just got this package from Fenix just yesterday, and I haven't opened it yet because I thought I'd open it here because I have not tried. Have you tried a torch from Fenix at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I've been meaning to for years because every time I do a head torch review, people always say, oh, you need to try Fenix. And I've been...
Is Fenix a brand? I've not. Yeah. I've only heard of it through
yeah,
other things.
Garmin Fenix. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it's not. It is Garmin now, not?
A Garmin dual watch called the Fenix. Is it the Fenix? It's probably the Fenix, isn't it? I'm probably just saying it all wrong here. But yeah, this is Fenix, the torch brand. They've sent me one for the budget torch review, which I think is this one, the HM23. And they've sent me another one. The names are a bit boring, aren't they? I prefer things like the Bandicoot. That's much more fun to say. And then this is one of their brighter head torches.
1,500 lumens, wow.
Yeah. So the great thing about the budget one that I'm going to review, the HM23, it's 240 lumens for 8 hours, but it's totally waterproof. So the housing is covered completely. It looks a little bit different to the other head torches that we've tested. It looks like long and thin like that.
Yeah.
Just takes the one AA battery. And it's got a nice comfy headband as well. So I'm really looking forward to finally testing a head torch from Fenix. And it gives you a spare O-ring as well because it's fully waterproof. So you can actually drop this in a puddle and it won't be a problem. And that's...
Are any of those rechargeable or are they all AA batteries?
Yeah,
any of them?
This one is just AA battery.
Yeah.
This one's just batteries. Is it batteries or is it a plug in thing? Let me see. I've got too many things out. The silver is both, so that's a massive plus in such a budget head torch, isn't it? And then I don't know about this one. Doesn't give you a cable or anything, so I'm guessing there's some kind of hole for...
Yeah, you have to find.
Yeah, there must be a hole in the Bandicoot somewhere.
Ah.
I don't know where it would be.
Oh.
Maybe it's solar powered. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
There is something, isn't there, underneath it? There's a little...
It's not a hole for a thing though. Recharge, here you go. Oh, okay, you pull it out.
Ah, right.
And then that's interesting, right. I hate torches where you have to read the instructions, but you pull it out like this.
Brilliant.
Whoa, it's a bit like the Terminator.
And then a USB.
You plug in to USB. So that's interesting.
So that's a rechargeable one.
Yeah, only rechargeable. So you can only recharge this. Yep, and you couldn't really use that whilst you were recharging. I mean, you could get a portable charger, but
you could recharge it on the move, couldn't you, if you needed to you could recharge it in your bag or something.
Yeah, so you'd have to have two. But it's interesting, isn't it? I like it when brands do something a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to taking these out on a dark, wet, windy night soon and just seeing how they all compare. I've got loads more. I started and I was like, I'll get about 6 head torches in for the budget head torch test. I think I've got about 12 now. So I'm going to have to just talk about the best ones and then just mention all of these other random ones. I'll probably talk about this one because it's really, really fun. It's quite hard to get this back in. But it is quirky. So I just thought I'd mention that one.
Good.
Yeah.
Are any of the Fenix ones rechargeable, or are they all single battery? Or I know you've not had time to look at them yet.
Yeah, literally just opened them. This one is micro USB charger.
Right.
So that's just micro USB charging. That one's just battery, and then this one possibly is both. Yeah, this is rechargeable.
Right.
As well.
Oh, good. They look nice.
Yes.
There's so many to choose from these days, isn't there? There's such a massive market for head torches.
Yeah, there really is. And it's brilliant that for around £35, you really can get a great head torch for trail running.
Yes.
Because
you
need probably, if you're going to do easy trails, kind of like 200 lumens. Yeah. And then if you want to navigate, or you've got bad eyesight, or you want to go fast over technical terrain, then a bit more, like 400 plus, maybe even 1,000 if you're navigating and you really want to shine ahead, bright as possible, for basically try and make it daylight, hey?
A lot of them now are quite good in that they're bike and run compatible too. A lot of them you can swap between bike and head torch, which I really like. I think it's really nice to have that option, and a lot of head torches are doing that now as well.
Yeah,
the silver's really good for that. I use that on my bike and my head torch as well.
Yeah, that is really good that they do all that, isn't it? And they send you all the stuff to put it onto the handlebars, the little the silicon that you can wrap around your handlebars. And often you don't even need a screwdriver either, do you? You just kind of
just turn it straight on.
Flip it on. We've got a live question. Oh, it's not a question, it's just Tony Reeves saying, I did a night canicross at Solsea Forest. My head torch was great, but the dog needed a better one. Did you put a head torch on your dog, Tony? I wonder, if you could get that. We do have a question actually from Andrew Knox about head torches, which I did put out on social media, but I haven't had time to look at any replies yet. I don't know if you've ever used a waist light, Vicky, because Andrew is wondering what the difference is between how the light washes over the terrain, like with a head lamp versus a waist light. He's not tried one, but he was wondering if they'd be better for misty conditions, because
some people use them on the chest, don't they? A lot of people like chest lights.
Yeah, like here.
For me, I like the light to be where I'm looking.
Yeah.
And quite often if I run and I look to see where something is, if I had the torch on my chest, it wouldn't help me. So I like the torch on my head to be directional at where I'm looking. And sometimes people who will go on a bike prefer the light on their helmet rather than the handlebars for the same thing, so that the light will move with you.
Yeah.
I've never tried one on my chest. I've never wanted to. I always want it on my head.
Yeah.
But some people prefer it, don't they?
Yeah, people at my running club, and that's just on roads in the winter in the dark. So people at my running club often have them as a chest light, because I think they just get bothered by the strap and things over the head. And if they're not buying like this type of head torch, if they've just got one that's 10 quid from a garage, probably isn't that comfy and not that bright. So they like them for that reason. Yeah, I suppose the thing with the mist is if you shine a really bright light into the mist, then it will just come straight back. So that they're usually on the chest strap ones. They're not kind of made by any of the pro head torch makers. So they're going to be like slightly less bright. They're going to be, I don't know, 100, 200 lumens. So that might be a reason why they might be better in the mist. I'm just making this up because I've never actually used one. But I think a lot of people use a light on the chest and also one on the head as well. So they've got light in general. And then if they want to look left and right,
yeah,
a bit like biking, like I used to use a handlebar one and also one on the helmet, yeah, so that you've got both. So if you can do both, that's good. I know a friend of mine, she also uses a hand flashlight. I've never done that because I don't want anything in my hands when I run. But she found it good because she could properly point it right at the ground. And her eyesight in the dark wasn't as good as mine. Yeah. So, yeah, she enjoyed using it like that. But, yeah, if anybody does know, like, can you write in the comments about your opinions on torches on at the waist or on the chest versus... on the head, because me and Vicky are not the right people to be answering.
No, never used one on my chest.
Yeah, maybe we should order some in, see how it goes. Could be a revelation. And then Tony has got back to us about his dog. He said the dog that he did the canicross with had a torch either side of his harness. The Aww. Dog did. So that's cute, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe his fur got in the way.
I wouldn't have been able to do that with my dog, the canicross. She'd have really? Whipped them off.
Yeah, bitten them. Yeah. This is tasty. Cool. Was there anything more you wanted to say about head torches, or shall we get up this next question from...
Yeah, I think we've gone through sort of most of them. Yeah, I think we mentioned most of the ones that we've done.
It was just a little quick roundup because I am doing this budget head torch test, and we've got a whole playlist about head torches. I just thought we could chat about it because it's seasonal, isn't it?
Coming into head torch season. Have you done your first few runs with the head torch then?
No, because I don't run at night anymore.
If you've got time in the day, it's better to go in the day, isn't it?
Well, every time I think, I'll do this, that and the other when Finley's in bed, by the time 7:30 comes around, we've had our tea and I want to go to bed at 9:00. So there's no way I'm getting out for a run. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to make a special effort to test these budget head torches. I'm just waiting the longest time possible.
So it comes a little bit lighter.
A bit earlier. Yeah.
I've started putting one in my pack when I'm running, because I think I dropped Juliet off on Tuesday night at Brownies at 6:00 and set off my run. And just as I was finishing about 7:15, it was dark enough to need a head torch then. So I just had it on for the last few minutes.
Yeah. It's always good to have one in the bag just in case, isn't it? I remember once I went up Wynn Hill and it was a beautiful, clear night and you didn't need a head torch. The moon was full. Like, I've been out in those situations on the mountains where you don't need the head torch because the moon is so bright and the sky is so clear. But then going back down Wynn Hill, it's really forested on the side that I came down. It's the really steep side, going down to the reservoir side. And I had to crawl on my hands and knees with my bum on the mud because I had no head torch, or my head torch ran out or something like that. And I had zero light and it was pitch black. Out on the mountains, absolutely fine. In the forest, nothing. Yeah. And people kept walking up with their big, like, massive head torches on. And they must have just thought, what is this creature in the mud slithering around? novice. Yeah. So glad no one could recognise me. So we were going to answer another question and then we're going to talk about what we're doing tomorrow. Right. Okay. We've got another question. So basically, I said to, I've got patrons on the channel that support the channel, and all the higher tier patrons, they've got priority in asking questions. So I said to them, what do you want to ask for this gear chat? And we've already answered Andrew's question about the waist lights, but we need to answer Peter's question now. He says, can you buy a decent rainproof or showerproof jacket that doesn't make you boil in the bag for under £100, and where can I find this?
We've tested a lot of these over the years, haven't we? Claire and I both have a very similar view on this sort of thing. Jackets can be waterproof because they stop water going in, and they can market themselves as breathable, but it doesn't work like that. It doesn't actually work. If it's hot and you have a waterproof jacket on, you are going to be damp inside.
Sweat.
And we've tested so many jackets, and you are always damp inside if you're working hard, aren't you?
And it doesn't, like they say, oh yes, the sweat will just magically go through the jacket. It doesn't.
Unless you and I are very sweaty people, Claire. Other people don't have this.
I just don't think any waterproof jackets are breathable in the way that you would imagine something to be breathable.
Yeah.
I think it's more about using the jacket in a way that suits your body. So like if it's
when
got,
you need it.
Yeah, like venting under the arms, venting at the zip as well, and basically as you just said, not putting it on until absolutely necessary. I've run for whole days in the summer in the drizzle not wearing my waterproof until it got windy and then it was colder, so then I'd put it on. But you have to strike that balance between being too hot and sweaty in the jacket and then actually wearing it so that you don't get hypothermia. So it's a bit of a balancing act, and I think we should put a small caveat in place: if in doubt, do wear the jacket.
And often it's the base layer that makes more difference, isn't it, with the jacket. Like I know you really like the merino wool base layers,
because
they finally work quite well. Very hot though, and that's it, isn't it? It's working out a balance. You don't want to be too hot, but you know, as soon as you put a jacket on, if you're running, you're gonna get too hot. And then do you undo the zip and let water in, or it's really tricky. It's really tricky.
It's really hard to know when to put it on and when not. But yeah, like you said, with the base layers, if you are wearing a technical base layer that wicks the sweat quickly away and dries quickly, then it should dry quickly once it's stopped raining. And I suppose the key is to be warm. So you could be damp and warm. So the moment that wind starts cutting through you and the rain feels cold and, you know, you're in an exposed situation on a mountainside, yes, definitely wear the jacket. You'll be damp, but you'll be warm. But I just wouldn't expect as a runner to be dry in a waterproof, in completely bone dry. There'll always be patches where you'll be like, you know, here the water will ingress slightly just because there's a hole, which is your neck hole,
and cuffs
and the cuffs, it will start to go up the cuffs as well. So yeah, the key is to wear other clothing which dries quickly after it stops raining, and also to just manage your situation as well. If you're becoming too cold and you're wearing everything, get down, abandon the run. I think with hiking, you can expect to be dry because you're moving slowly and you're not creating all that sweat and all that heat inside the jacket. But running, it baffles me.
We've tested two 200, 250 pound jackets and you are still wet inside them if you are running and you're working and it's not minus 20, you're still going to be damp inside. The only time I've ever worn them where I haven't been wet inside is when I've been running in ski resorts when it's sort of minus 10, minus 15, or in Lapland. And that's the only time when you're not sweating at all.
In the actual Arctic.
But really, if you're working hard and you're sweating, no matter how much you spend on a jacket, you are going to get damp inside. You might be waterproof, but you're still going to be damp inside from sweat.
And I think sometimes the difference between the more expensive jackets and the less expensive jackets can be how comfortable the damp is next to the skin. So like if you're in a really cheapo jacket that's kind of really plasticky feeling, that can feel a lot more clammy against your skin. Whereas if you're But if you're in a top of the range jacket, not only will it have all the best features and be really reliable, you know, quality stitching and last you a long time, not only will it have all the right features, but it will also have what they call a scrim on the inside of the jacket, so that it's a bit more of a material feel than a plasticky feel. So it will actually feel like the jacket is kind of sort of it's a bit of a barrier between that plastic feeling, and it kind of feels a bit more like clothing against your skin, and it'll feel nicer. So that's what you're paying for, really, is just for it to feel nicer. You'll be slightly damp, but you'll just feel nicer. But no jacket is going to be totally breathable. So you may as well, if you are on a budget, start off with a cheaper one. So I've just screen grabbed a few things for you here, Peter. This is a company called, it's High Estate, and it's owned by Sports Shoes.
And I've got their leggings on at the minute. Oh, yeah. Because they're so warm.
The winter leggings. Yeah, they're really
nice. The winter
nice.
Leggings that you bought, you had last year. I copied you. Yeah. I've got them on.
Oh, they're so good. I can't wait to start wearing them again.
And they're so cheap. I wear them for the bike in winter because they're so cheap.
I know. I just don't know how they're doing it. They are lasting. They've lasted me all week winter. I've worn them every single run when it was cold last winter, and I will do again this year. But I've just put up a few of these jackets for Peter here.
Oh, good.
And I have got one of these, but it's under some stuff.
It's the yellow one, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got this bright yellow one. They come up a bit large, so go for your size, not one size up, probably. And they're £30 at the moment. And it says the recommended retail price is £130. So they're on here for £30 or £40 at the moment. So that's where I would direct anyone to. The other place is Kalenji from Decathlon. You could get a jacket from them. The last time I did check the Edovix jacket, that was £50. That is quite plasticky, but had a lot of good features, and that would be another ideal option for waterproofs on a budget as well. And then, we have got a live question from Severin here as well. Hello, Severin. She says, read the waterproof jacket. Is a slightly less waterproof one actually more breathable? So here we probably need to explain the difference between water-resistant jackets and waterproof jackets. So I wish I had all my stuff just here. But basically, a waterproof jacket. Oh, I do have a waterproof jacket here. This is a one from Hoka that they just gave me recently. But this is the difference between a waterproof jacket and a water-resistant jacket. So the waterproof jacket will have tape over the seams, and that is the bit of the jacket that would let in any water. So this fabric is totally waterproof, but the seams are obviously little needle stitches. So at the stitches, that's where water could ingress. So that's where the tape seams come in, and like little bits of taping there. So if you've got a water resistant jacket, you'll be able to see the flat lock seam, so you'll be able to see thread and maybe a little bit of flapping around where the seam has been flat locked down. This one's not really what I mean. This is it's just a jacket, but you can see there's stitching. This is an insulated jacket, so it's not what I mean, but there's just, you can see the stitching. There's no tape seam on there. And you can get really water resistant, windproof jackets, they're called. And so they are slightly more breathable just because they're not as waterproof. So yeah, you're right. They can be slightly more breathable. But again, just buy a really light one, and when you get too hot, take it off. Open it up, or bundle it up, or wear it as a cape. Some people just wear the hood, and they wear it as a cape that sort of flaps around them. Sometimes I've been known to wear it the wrong way around. So if the wind's coming towards me, but I'm still, a bit hot all over, I have my pack on, and then I'll just put it on the wrong way around so that I've got a barrier to the wind. You don't have to just wear it as a jacket, and you don't have to wear it under your pack as well, like a hiker. If you buy one size too big, then you can put it on over your running pack, and that's really helpful as well if you want to constantly be taking the jacket on and off. And I slide it through, if you've got your backpack strap on, I just slide it through the pack and just keep it there, and then you can quickly put it on and quickly put it off, take it off. So that is how I roll.
I think it's worth just mentioning, with a lot of the more expensive jackets, like the two really expensive ones we trialed last year, a lot of the time you're paying a lot more so that it's race weight and it's a lot lighter, so that you're not necessarily wanting it to be the best waterproof jacket, but you're paying to have something lighter that covers the requirements of kit requirements and tape seams and things like that, but actually it's quite a condensed version in some ways, so you're actually paying more to get a sort of slightly condensed version of something. Like we found, a lot of them didn't have peaks on the hood, when actually if it's absolutely chucking it down, you want a peak on your hood. But with a lot of the more expensive jackets, you're paying for it not to have that, to save weight. So it's often the most expensive ones aren't the best ones you can get. It depends on what your requirements are, doesn't it?
That's a really good point. Often you're paying to reduce that weight. And it's, I would call that kind of jacket an emergency jacket, because if it's starting off and you know it's going to be horrendous all day, you do not want to take that jacket with you.
No.
That's one you'll take, if you're doing, the UTMB, the weather forecast looks great, or actually I maybe not, because it could change, couldn't it? But, you know, if the weather forecast is great, like it's been settled, nice weather, and you're in a warm place, you're just taking it because it's on the kit requirements. You want like the lightest possible jacket, and they've often got like stripped down features, like you were saying, with like lack of peaked hood.
But yeah, no zips, no pockets. Yeah.
But like, actually, if I was, you know, like when I did the Cape Wrath Ultra in 2018, I actually took a hiking jacket with me, like a proper mountain jacket. With a proper hood that properly fitted, there was a peak to it, it pulled in at the back, it went round my ponytail, it properly came up to here. I looked like, when I put it on, I looked like a prop, like a sperm, because I was just like this.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm doing a long race. If I'm doing a 5 mile race, I can cope with anything, but in a 30 mile, a 40 miler, and I know it might rain heavily, you need something that you need something with a good peak, tie up to here.
And so that in the water, I should put the waterproof playlist on as well, actually, because in that waterproof playlist, I've got a review of the more kind of bomb-proof jackets for like all day wear. And then when we filmed with Vicky in the Peak District, we did the emergency jackets. Light so rents, you've got both there. So so I think if you've got enough money, you'd probably want both. You'd want a really bomb-proof one for long stuff and remote stuff where you know you really want something you can rely on. And then you want an emergency one just to like pop in just for race day and stuff like that. So Severin says, thanks, I have a discount Decathlon jacket, which I like, but I do get hot. I often wear it backwards. Yes, exactly. And so I think with the with the higher price ones, you are paying for that weight saving, and some of the more less expensive jackets can be a little on the heavy side sometimes and a little on the plasticky side. That segued nicely into waterproof jackets. And now we'll just do a quick chat about the shoes, because me and Vicky are going to meet in the Peak District tomorrow. Very excited.
Very excited.
Haven't met for a while, have we?
It's been a year. I suspect it was probably this time last year we did the waterproof jackets, I think.
Yeah, it was November last year, wasn't it?
Was it November? Because it was cold. It was freezing.
And did we meet in January one time as well? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, when I was pregnant.
That's before you had Finlay.
Yeah. Whereas that last year I escaped, didn't I? It was brilliant. Yeah. It was one of my early escapes. But we are going to be testing tomorrow. It's very exciting. We're going to be testing these two Salomon shoes. So one, they're basically, this is the new Speedcross 6, and this is the old Speedcross 5, which some of you might have. And so we're going to be, after I finished this chat, I'm going to be doing like little flashcards with all the differences on. So I might, like, I could quiz you, couldn't I, Vicky? I could let you look at them and be like, what do you think? And I could quiz you. I'll see how it goes. But the main difference that I can see visibly is this is the traditional chevron grip that Salomon use, that little triangle here. Yeah. And then they've gone to this, like, it looks like a whale tail or like the Mercedes symbol.
It does.
They've got a little tail on the chevrons now. And they say that that sheds mud better. So we are going to try this out tomorrow, aren't we, Vicky?
Yes.
We're going to find somewhere really muddy in the Peak District and try these out.
Make the white shoes black.
Why have they made them in white? Turquoise isn't a brilliant color, but white, come on, guys. I believe they are available in different colors. Somebody did say they are available in different colors.
Yes,
but I got sent this shoe because I don't get any choice. So I'm a journalist. And the uppers are slightly different. I don't know if you can tell from the film,
but the uppers, one more lightweight, it looks,
it feels more it's like a fabric, it's like a fabric that you'd wear rather than a fabric on your shoe.
Yeah.
So we can look at that. And I think the drop is different as well. I think that these are a 10 mil and these are a 12 mil, but we'll have to check that as well. So yeah, I'm very excited about doing this because I just think, what's the point of just testing this one? You need this one to see where they've gone with it. So that's the plan.
Fabulous.
And I think, what do you think about wearing one on each foot, Vicky? Because we're the same size shoe.
I think definitely have to do that. One each and see if we can notice the difference.
Yes. Yeah. See if one foot's like sliding all over the place and the other one's like this one's full of mud. This old shoe is like full of mud. And then this one's just like, oh, I'm so free. I'm so, it slipped right out of it. Yeah. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. So we've got to find a suitably muddy place to run tomorrow. But that was That was everything for the gear chat today.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. Yeah. Unless there were any more questions. If you've got questions, type them in the comments below. How excited are you for about tomorrow, Vicky?
I can't wait. I've got my dad coming over to babysit and I'm heading off at 8 o'clock.
Hey, cool.
And I'll be there to meet you. Yes, looking forward to it. I'm hoping it's going to be sunny because it is always sunny when we meet there. It's always nice, but it's often very, very cold.
Yes, it is always cold. We do always make these
things
in the winter.
And I'll bring plenty of spare socks for changing once my feet get wet.
Yeah. I might bring some waterproof socks. How about
that?
I
was thinking that as well.
Yeah.
I'll bring the vans so we can make coffees.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, well, we're always here for you guys if you've got any more gear questions. I have tested a lot of things on the channel, so the best way to access those things is to type in your thing, like waterproofs, and then Wild Ginger Running into Google or into YouTube search box, and that will bring up anything I have on the topic. So, and if you've got any questions, just tap me a comment and I will locate the right film for you to watch. Thank you very much, Vicky. It's been
lovely chatting
to you. And I shall see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Cool. Thank you very much, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.